Well, big welcome to 2016. It's a whole new year. It's amazing. It was cool. We were talking before worship about how there's one of the songs on the list we did at the New Year's Eve party, but we thought, hey, we haven't done it for a year, and so we're good. It's just a whole new thing, and so it's amazing what a new start is like. And that's in my heart this morning, that we just really do take advantage of the fresh start that we've got. And so what I'm going to say this morning isn't necessarily going to be something that you haven't really heard before. And I'm okay with that. There's a saying that if it's new, it isn't true. And if it's true, it isn't new. There's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes tells us. But maybe we'll look at it from a little different angle. Sometimes, you know, look at what God has done for us and how beautiful it is from a different angle. It gives you a little different perspective, and that can be a really good thing. So we're going to do that this morning. So the new year, I know we all look back with a bunch of different emotions at 2015. Hopefully you look at it with some fond memories. You're grateful for some of the great things that God has done. All of us, I know, experienced to some degree some pain, maybe loss and all that. So we look back at it with that as well. And so hopefully you're looking forward to the new year, knowing that there's going to be some challenges, but there are some new opportunities and God has some things ahead. Here's a quote I bumped into. The new year is not about changing the dates, but the direction. It's not about changing the calendar, but commitment. It's not about changing the actions, but attitude. So we're not necessarily just flipping pages in a calendar, but we're looking at our commitments and making some changes. Not just a change in dates, but direction. Let's look at not just our actions, but our attitude, our perspective toward things. Let's make some adjustments as we go into the new year. Now, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions, and so you can go online and find several lists of 100 great New Year's resolutions. 100. Several lists. You know, I don't know about you, but I struggle with like 1, 2, you know, like 100. I just need some more, but you can find a bunch of them. Here's just some highlights, some things you might consider. And maybe just make a note of one of these or two of these, maybe as we look at these real quick. Smile to at least one person every day. What a great idea. At least one person. And maybe the people you live with would be a great place to start there. They would love that. Opt for the stairs a few times every week. That's great. Give more away. It's more blessed to give than receive. What a great way to live. Keep teaching your kids gratitude. You have to be an example of that if you're going to teach it effectively. So there you go. Be more of a team player. Live more minimalistically. Just we don't need as much as we have. We are so blessed, and we don't need it all. We can give it away. Have a date night. Make an investment in the people that are important to you. Get photos into scrapbooks. Some of the things that we all think we should do. Just go ahead and do those things, right? Save money and make coffee at home. Whoa. Okay. Can you do that? Yeah, you can do that. Suzanne has a gold Starbucks card that we don't really use at all, except once in a while they kick a reward at her or something that just to say, hey, we miss you. Here's a free coffee. And you can get any coffee you want with it. And so we make coffee at home, but when we have the reward thing, she knows I have this drink that I love that is redonkulously expensive, and so she gets that for me, which is wonderful. And if you're paying for that drink, it's just a 20-ounce coffee, it's like $7.60. It's unbelievable. Anyway, it's like that or a tank of gas. It's a venti caramel, salted caramel, preferably mocha with at least 4 shots, and I like a whole milk, no whip, but not that I really care. I don't care. Yeah. Anyway. Save money and make coffee at home. That's what we're talking about. Tackle some DIY projects. Meditate on the word. Amen. Resolve to work ahead. That is a really freeing thing, right? Read books that are collecting dust on your bookshelves. You probably got some great ones there. Write more letters. Bring back snail mail. I'm telling you, isn't it wonderful to get a handwritten note? We got a note. I'm just going to go ahead and steal some people's crowns this morning. Jordan Bingham wrote us a Christmas card. It was unbelievable. We just sat there and read it. The kids were like, what? We're like, what? And everything is just so wonderful. Handwritten. We're like, who does that? It's just a beautiful card and handwritten. Thank you, Jordan. Even had a supplemental page. He's like, make sure. Another thing. It was amazing. You're a blessing, Jordan. Thank you. Write down one thing that you're thankful for each day. And that's so easy to come up with at least one thing. Organize your junk drawers. You might find some things are really important. That's the really fun part about that. Like, there's that drill bit I've been looking for. Clean out your garage. Okay, that might take 2016. Bake from scratch more often. Try a bold haircut. It grows back. Like that. Deep clean your bathroom. Cut back on sugar. Make a new friend. Bike to work. Get up and walk around more. Send thank you notes right after opening the presents. So you got that done. Complain less. So here's just a few that you can kind of start with, and maybe one of those stands out to you. But there's so many great ideas. You may know that 40% of New Year's resolutions are over after 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 40% are done. at 6 months, 70% are over. It's gone. It was a great idea. But we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We struggle with keeping these, and most of us have made resolutions that we didn't keep. And so instead of just going, why even try? I thought it might be good to take a little bit of a look at this and what is it God's speaking to us, because change is good and we need to take a fresh look at it. So Happy New Year is the title of the message. I so don't want us to look back at 2016 and just think, you know, it was a so-so next year, you know. But a Happy New Year. We have a lot of opportunity in front of us to take advantage of. So here just the three simple points I want to cover this morning. I want to just say them to you here consecutively so you know where we're going. I want to talk about how we want to change, about how we need to change, and we can change. And we want to change, we need to change, and we can change. And as much as we talk about how we don't like change, we love change when the change is right in our lives. And so the first point, we want to change. You know, if we're honest, we'll admit that there are times we don't really like ourselves. That's one of the reasons we want to change, because there are times we are disappointed with the choices that we make, the way that we relate to other people. We put our head on our pillow and say, that wasn't the best way to do that, and I need to make some changes in my life, and we really do want to change. I love this. This morning, one of our former students here that was very involved posted this on Facebook. It's amazing, and I'm going to try to be careful to not reveal this person's identity or whatever, just because I didn't have permission, wasn't able to ask permission, and so I'll be careful here. But this person is celebrating some major life change over the last few years and says, here's why I'll never regret it, nor do I miss any of the way that I was. And when I wake up in the morning, I know where I've been, I know where I am, and I'm loved by my spouse. I don't have to clean up from my choices the night before. When I go shopping, I'm looking at being a good steward instead of how I can spend money on things I know I shouldn't. When I get bank messages, bank alerts on my phone, I'm proud to see how we're stewarding our finances instead of being alarmed at the latest mess in my bank account. When we eat dinner at night, I'm able to look at my spouse in the eye with knowing that I don't have any secrets, that there's nothing I'm trying to keep from that person. And most importantly, when I go to sleep at night, the only desires on my heart are to ask God for help on the things that I've forgotten to say, forgiveness on the things I said or did, how I can grow, how I can change. I'm choosing Jesus, and he's changing my life, and ends with this, saying, thank you, Lord, for bringing good back into my life when I didn't deserve it, and a little hashtag mercy. I love it. So grateful for the change that God has brought. We do want to change. There are things that we want to move past, and there are things that we can celebrate that God has done in our lives, and celebrations we can look forward to that we haven't been able to embrace yet because the work of God is still happening in our lives. And it's a beautiful thing, a beautiful opportunity. I was doing some research, and a man named Dr. John Townsend just wrote a book called The Entitlement Cure. And so he's looking at the whole entitled thing and everything. And the subtitle is this, Finding Success in Doing Hard Things the Right Way. And he talks about the epidemic that entitlement is, which is sort of really a hot button in our culture, but nothing new to the human race, right? We've been entitled for about 6,000 years, right? But our culture has sort of exacerbated the issue. But here's how he defines entitlement. It's denying two things, denying responsibility for one's choices and then demanding special treatment. So I'm not going to be responsible for the choices I make, but I also deserve special treatment. And so he goes into how to address this whole thing. And essentially what it is expecting grace and mercy. Can you remember, grace is when God doesn't bring consequences for that we deserve. That's the grace of God. Jesus paid the penalty, and we get grace, all right? So that's the gift of God. And then mercy is getting what we don't deserve on the other side. And so when we demand grace and mercy, when we think we're entitled to that in life, things get really messy. And our life begins to stink with this rank smell that we don't even like anymore. You know, we're like, this thing's a mess, and I can't even stand myself and the way that I'm living. When we demand, when we think we're entitled to the gifts of God, our life gets messy. And that's especially when we need to change. Again, nothing new. This is this thing that's thousands of years old, but something that God wants to address in us. And so Pastor Phil has talked about this and this war between the flesh and the spirit, but ultimately it kind of boils down to this and where we can see that we really do need to change. Galatians 5, 16 through 17 says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves.
The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So there's this war between the flesh and the Spirit, and our life gets messy when we let the cravings of our flesh dictate the choices that we make. And what happens is we sacrifice the satisfaction of our soul on the altar of the cravings of our flesh. We sacrifice true satisfaction, the satisfaction of our soul, what it is that the Spirit of God wants to do in our lives, on the altar of the cravings of our flesh. And Galatians is telling us that war will be there, so recognize it for what it is. And thank you, Pastor Phil, for teaching on that. May we not sacrifice the best that God has for us on the altar of convenience. I love it. It says the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And so if we'll tap into the desires of the Spirit, then we'll live our lives a different way, in a much more fulfilling way. We want to change. We want to do that. And God has given us an appetite for the things that are best for us. The other thing that Pastor Phil talked about on New Year's Eve was that we need to be in the Word, and we need to start in the Word. And there's this little illustration that comes up in one of the some of the teaching we have at church, and so we got this here this morning. Now, you can't see this necessarily very well, but these are those big, old, sweet blueberries, okay? You can do this with strawberries, whatever, but they're so sweet, like, and there's no sugar added, but when you take a bite of these things, it's like, my gosh, they're just incredible. In fact, I've got to do it. And they were frozen. When you freeze them, the sugar just kind of jumps out at you. I mean, I don't know what happens there. Somebody here understands the science probably of that. But they're so good. They're so good. And you eat a bunch of these, you're like, wow. I mean, that was just unbelievable. Just really ripe on blueberries, and they're just phenomenal. You do the same thing again with a strawberry, with pineapple, whatever. They're just amazing. And you have those, you go, what a crazy, incredible treat. You know, and we're privileged to be able to freeze them, to have them ships from someplace, have them fresh all the time. It's just amazing, the stuff that people couldn't do 100 years ago. These are just outstanding. Now, when you have these, all right, and have a bunch of these, then when you grab a Snickers bar, okay, which is supposed to really satisfy us, right, according to the commercials and everything, when you've had a bowl of these blueberries, really sweet, then the Snickers bar is like, take a bite of that, you're like, wow, okay, that's like, it's kind of crazy sweet, all right? I'm doing great. Those blueberries were awesome. And this is like almost kind of over the top. And it is. This is, of course, artificially sweet. These are great. These Snickers bars are great. Don't get me wrong. They're going to be amazing. And a great snack, whatever. But when you've had the blueberry, when you had the real thing, all of a sudden this tastes a little bit different. But if you flip the order, okay, you start with a Snickers bar. You have the Snickers bar, like, okay, this is good. I'm hungry, I'm hangry, whatever, and having the Snickers bar. And then you have some fresh blueberries or strawberries, like, wow, those are kind of a little tart. You know, they just taste different. The thing is, that which we turn to artificially satisfy us will get in the way of the appetite we have for what God has given us. And the order in which we consume those things makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. I might be turning to something artificial to satisfy the cravings in my heart. And then when I get what it is that God has for me, he go, well, it doesn't even really match up. It's artificial. It's a fake. It's not from the hand of God. It's the enemy saying, God is keeping from you what is best for you. And that is a lie that's as old as mankind. It all comes down to what order are we partaking? And if we'll receive only what comes from the hand of God, if we'll start with that, if we'll dig into the Word, the first thing as we get things going, and better to read it at night than not at all, but if we'll start our day with that, then what it'll do is it will alert us to that which is an imitation of what our God has for us, and we won't satisfy the cravings of the flesh. Then we're able to listen to the voice of the Spirit and live differently. Want the blueberries? You can have, there's a lot of them. You can just pass them around there. Be great. They're really, really, really good. Great. I have in my notes, insert Spirit-led illustration here, and that's Pastor Phil. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Awesome. God has given us an appetite for the things that are best for us. And unless you're allergic to those blueberries right now, they're going to taste really, really good. They're amazing. Philippians 2:13 says this, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I love that our God is that good. He doesn't just ask us to do what pleases him. It says he gives us the desire to do what pleases him. How good is he? How good is he? We want to change. We really do. Thank you, Lord. All right, second, we need to change. We want to change, but also we need to change. This is so evident a lot of times in other people's lives and not so much sometimes in our own. And it is so fun being a dad and watching what happens in our kids because, you know, sometimes it's really easy to see where they need to change. We were delivering some stuff to some people and everything, and some people gave us something like, here you go, you can have this. And it gave us a homemade thing. And one of our kids said, oh, we have that recipe. I'm like, okay, we'll have a discussion here just a little bit later. You know, there's some insensitivity that we've got to work on and everything. And you know, it's pretty obvious sometimes you go, okay, our kids need to change. And people are looking at you like, you haven't had that conversation yet, huh? And I'm like, no, we have not had that conversation yet, you know? Should have had it on the way here. Wasn't expecting that to happen. Right, that stuff comes up and you go, okay, we got some change that needs to happen. We have some things that we do as a family sometimes are sort of kind of traditions. And one is that Suzanne had this when she was growing up. And so once a year, maybe twice a year, if it's a really good year, once a year, Suzanne gets out her orange juicer. Okay, she has this orange. And so we cut the oranges, and the kids love to put those on the spinning thing and squeeze them, and the orange just comes out. And it's ridiculous. Take a whole bag of oranges and juice them completely. Get even some pulp in there, okay? Whole bag of oranges is like 4 ounces of juice, right? It's painful to me. I'm like, that was $15, and we got 4 ounces of juice, you know? And the gold is cheaper than this stuff per ounce. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? Oranges. But it's a once-a-year thing, and so that's cool. And so we don't usually buy orange juice, whatever. That's the only time we do that. So we're visiting family down in Boise, and the kids, we get up in the morning and everything, and my sister lives down there. I asked our kids, do you guys drink orange juice? And our kids said, only fresh squeezed. Now, they're right. Okay, because we don't drink orange juice because it's expensive in the thing too. We probably should drink more of it, but in their mind, they were right. Okay, and so that later had this conversation with my sister, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's true. Once a year, okay, special thing. It's so funny. Only fresh squeeze. I'm like, oh my gosh, this could come back to haunt me. All right. Ugh. We've got insensitivity and some stuff like that we're going in. It is so easy to recognize this stuff in children, and so embarrassing when it comes up with your children and other situations and everything and all that. And we've all done all that and everything. We recognize that there's change that needs to happen. There's change that needs to happen in all of our lives. The same thing is true, of course, for all of us, right? We're tired and selfishness shows up. We have a little envy at what someone else got for Christmas maybe, right? Some pain that we were overlooked in a relationship, hurt because someone else got the credit, lonely because someone else got the attention, demanding because it should have been our turn. Sometimes we're too sleepy to pray, too weary to serve, too spent to give more, too ashamed to share the hope of Jesus. And none of that is the example of Jesus. None of that is the example of Jesus and what it is that he has for us. We need to change, and there's hope that comes in him. It's supposed to look like this. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. We understand Philippians 3:12-14. We haven't attained it, but we press on for the goal. We haven't arrived yet. It is not done. We need to change. God is calling us to change. 2 Corinthians 3. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We look in the mirror of the presence of the living God, and we understand that we don't measure up. We need to change, and God is at work in us to do that, to give us the desire even to do his will and his pleasure. So third, last point, the good news is we can change. We can change. We really can. And there's some desires in our hearts to do that where we know we want to, we need to, and we can. A common New Year's resolution has something to do with food that kind of comes up for a lot of us. And we were in a staff meeting recently, and Suzanne and I had brought donuts. And so everybody kind of had a donut, some people being careful, you know, like half a donut, whatever. And so we had donuts left at the end. And Ellis just goes, "Don't mind if I do," and just started eating donuts, you know, just pounding donuts. I'm like, that would be nice. And we're kind of talking about, if I say donut, I put on a pound. And you're just eating donuts, Ellis. Thanks so much. And he goes, "Oh, actually, I'm in the middle of a contest." He goes, "Me, DJ, and Brad are taking the month of December to put on as much weight as we can. Head to head, we're seeing who can, we all weighed in, and we're going to see at the end of the month who put on the most weight." Okay. No, I've never done that. Wouldn't have thought of doing that since I was about, 17. But anyway, so they're head to head trying to put on weight. Like, cannot relate. I'm sorry, you're just out of my wheelhouse there. Good luck with that. So we're joking about donuts are my superfood. We're going to get t-shirts made, you know, whatever, and all that. So after a month, they weighed in, and this is how it went down. They're all just going crazy, eating whatever they kill, all this stuff. Okay, DJ, dead flat. Okay, didn't put on a pound. Ellis drank a half gallon of water right before weigh-in, okay? Gallon of water weighs a little over 8 pounds. And was up 3. Technically, he's down 1, right? Okay. The donut diet. Here it comes. Anyway. And then Brad was up 4. He was a big winner, and nobody knows how he did it. He's still out of town, but I'm excited to talk to him and see how Brad put on 4 pounds in a month. It's absolutely amazing. Now, they got a team together so that they could have accountability, and they saw a real profound change in their lives. I don't get it at all. But you gather together and get some people going, I guess that could do it. I don't know. This is unbelievable stuff. My case, okay, it kind of goes the other way. I'm exercising, trying to make some changes and stuff. And I was talking with Adam Jones, who has been working out like crazy, putting on some muscle and everything. It's awesome. And one of the hardest things when you're kind of getting working out is pull-ups. You know, you want to get to the place where you can do 1. That's pretty cool, you know, and then keep going from there. And I was talking to Adam. I said, "Are you doing pull-ups and stuff?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I'm doing weighted pull-ups now. You know, I do pull-ups with like 30 pounds of weight on me to pull myself up." I'm like, "What? Seriously?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well," and this is amazing. Okay, this is one of the, no guile at all. And Adam Jones, as he's talking to me about this, he goes, "Yeah, well," he goes, "like, you know, you weigh more than me, and so you're already doing weighted pull-ups." So that's the nicest way someone's told me I'm bigger than I should be in a long, long time, Adam. That was amazing. But he's really serious, you know. He's going, "Just think when you, stop. Okay, we're going to stop here." Pull-ups with weights. He goes, "You're technically ahead of me." I'm like, stop. We're just getting crazy. We can gather ourselves together with some other people. We can find change. Back to the blueberries and the Snickers thing. The order that we do this in is a big deal. It's a big deal. If we'll allow God to satisfy our appetites, then we're not going to see those cravings hitting us in a lot of other ways in life. Again, this isn't all about food. It's just one of the things that's kind of before us all every day a little bit, and so I mentioned that. But here's one of the most profound things that I've ever said, and I just didn't know what else to do except quote myself, and so here it is again. All right, you ready? Here it comes. Go ahead, me. If you want to change, you have to change. Okay? Yeah. It's being tweeted out all across the planet right now, I know, and Instagram. But really, if we're going to make a change in our life, something has got to change. You know, a lot of times we think that there's going to be change just sort of by association or because it's a new year and so new things are going to happen. Stuff will happen to us, but we're not going to get where we want to get if we don't make some changes. If we want to change, something's got to change. Something really does. We're going to have to do something different with what we're doing if what we're doing is going to give us different results than we've been getting. If you want to change, you have to change. So here's the simple things we want to look at as we finish. How does God want me to change? This is the most important thing. How does God want us to change? If we're really going to change, it can't just be a good idea or a hope so. We need to start in the presence of God. We've got to conform to the image of the Son of God. We've got to walk by the Spirit. If we're really going to change, it's going to involve repentance. Not just, I'd like to make some changes, that it'd be nice, I'd prefer things were different, but it involved repentance. Saying, God, where is it that you want to change me? Where am I not being the husband, the father, the co-worker, the employee that I should be? You be in his presence and repent. It's a saying, we raise the old to raise the new, Justina Chen. We've got to take apart what's behind us in repentance to move into what's new ahead of us. Has God want me to change? He wants me to study the word. Pastor Phil was talking about this on New Year's Eve. What does Jesus say? If we're going to do what Jesus did, then we need to understand what he said and dig into the word of God. It's been a while since I've done this. I got a new Bible, New Year's Eve, to kind of just get some fresh perspective and look at things different. I want to change my approach to the word of God, and that needs to happen first in my heart. But also, I want to just look at it with new eyes, and this is a whole new take on things I'm looking at here. It's really focused on the archaeology and some of the history of the whole thing and everything. It has been awesome to dig into and really study the word in a new way. And how does God want me to change specifically? Where is it that he's speaking to me that it's time for me to make some adjustments in my life, my testimony, how I'm doing as a student, whatever that might be. Then the second part of this is, how do I maintain change? Experts say you can increase your odds of making it with a few simple things. So here's some things to grab a hold of. Once you know how maybe you want to change, some things you can do. You need to have a purpose bigger than yourself. I have to be tapped into something bigger than me if I really want to change. Self is a real bad motivator for making the real changes in our life that are going to make a difference. Selfishness has rarely brought us to the heights that we want to reach. It's self-sacrificial stuff. It's being involved in a purpose bigger than ourselves that gets us there. Second, accountability. If you commit to an idea, you talk to someone about it, have a specific appointment where you're gonna tell how that all went and everything, how it's all going, your odds go up to 95% of embracing change. 95%. Accountability with a big purpose is a great thing. You need to have realistic expectations. Realistic expectations. If you're kind of going, hey, I want to get in better shape, but you haven't really walked since like junior high, then don't plan on a 5K tomorrow, okay? You got to start someplace and go someplace realistic. You might have a tangible goal as a big part of it. Maybe you're looking at Bloomsday, which is May 1st, 2016, and going, when I get to the place where I can run or walk 7 miles, having a tangible, realistic goal is a big part of the whole thing. Not just to hope so, but have something out there in front of us that really can help us. Wrap up with this thought. The old saying is that you'll be the same person tomorrow that you are today, except for the books you read and the people you meet. You'll be the same person tomorrow that you are today, except for the books you read and the people you meet. I don't know if that's 100% true, but there's a lot of truth in that idea. And so I was thinking about that, praying about that. And so the books I read, if I really study his word, I will be different. The people I meet, maybe I can meet Jesus all over again in a fresh new way this year and really be changed. And then last, live as he would. Pastor Phil mentioned the what would Jesus do thing, and it was cool. As I was preparing to speak, I had a copy of this book in my office just sitting there on top of some other stuff that I was kind of repositioning on my shelves and stuff. And here it is, In His Steps. This is the book that was written. Obviously, it's a newer edition of it, but in 1897, first written. 1897. And so yesterday, I just started reading through that. It's been a little while, and just reading through it again, and I just started to cry at the transformation that can happen in a life when we decide to really live like Jesus lived, to really evaluate how it is that we're walking. And I know that if we'll do that, I know that if we'll embrace what God's put in front of us, that we'll look back at 2016, despite struggles, despite difficulties, despite setbacks, and know that we are different and that we've made a difference worth making in the lives around us. So as we prepare for communion now, and a lot of us have been here a lot of times and seen the elements up here, and we kind of sort of go, okay, I know kind of what's next. Would you take a minute in the first communion of the year 2016 and just try to take a look at it with fresh eyes, just a fresh perspective? Would you take a minute right now in your pew, and this is part of partaking of communion anyway, and ask God, God, where do you want me to change? Are there some things that I need to repent of? Some things I need to deal with? Some relationships that need to be addressed? Maybe some people, a person, some people that we need to talk to right now to get some things taken care of. And ask God, before you partake, that he would do a miracle in our lives as we partake. This is a sacrament. It's this natural action we go through that releases a supernatural transaction, a miracle that's supposed to happen as we partake. We're not just having a little snack at church. It's the body. This is the blood poured out for us, broken for us. We remember what he did, but also there's an impartation. Something radical happens as we partake. And let's ask him this morning, as we do, that he would enable us to be the men and women of God that he's called us to be, that we would walk in his steps in 2016. Jesus, we thank you for your example. And really, ultimately, it just boils down to you laid down your life. And we're so desperate to pick it up. We're so hungry for what we think is going to matter to us in the short run, and we miss out on the miracle so many times. We ask that you'd help us to see the wonder and the beauty of being crucified with Christ and then finding that we live. Help us to walk in your steps. We ask that you would change us from the inside out. Do a miracle in us, we pray this morning. That your miracle would happen every day, all year, as we walk in your steps. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray.